You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you rate, subscribe, comment on whatever platform you're listening to us on because that's greatly appreciated and it just helps out all of us. Okay, there you have it. So yeah, let's get into this because this is another TV episode and we are talking some more finales. I told you guys the finale episodes were going to keep coming because we have a lot of staggered finales happening. And so before I get into that, I do want to mention because I started The Handmaid's Tale and this is completely random and I can't remember if I mentioned this in an episode before, but I know I've had it on my watch list on Hulu for a long time, like since the summer. Because you guys know, I didn't have Hulu. I was like bumming off someone else for Hulu. Then they canceled Hulu. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm paying for too many things. I'm not going to get Hulu. And then we got Marvel Runaways. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Because you guys know, if you go back to season one, when I talk about Marvel's Runaways, I mentioned that I am like really late into the game, like 6 to 7 months late in the game when I talk about that season. So it's been on my watch list for a long time. And from what I had been hearing, I was expecting it to be super depressing, which is why I always kind of put it off. And finally, this weekend, I gave in. I started watching it. And I kid you guys not, I binged the first season in like 24 hours. So, and it wasn't as, I mean, don't get me wrong, the content is like horrific, but it wasn't as depressing as I imagined it was going to be, as far as like what I was thinking of based on some of the things I have been hearing around the web and in like real life. So I don't know, I was just like totally in it for the first season. Then the second season, but okay, the second season I feel like they've got a little bit more like, okay, what is happening? Because I'm only like 3 episodes into the second season and I had to take a break. So I was like, okay, this is too much. So I have to stop. So maybe it just gets worse this season. And then season 3 comes out this summer. So I'm contemplating if I'm even going to like do a like season 1, season 2 episode about it. Because, you know, I'm super late, but I don't know. Who knows? Just be on the lookout. That could happen. But yeah. Let's get into this episode because, like I said, we are discussing some season finales. We will be discussing The Good Doctor, Deadly Class, Black Lightning, and This Is Us. So, per usual, I will have time markers in the show notes. So, be sure to check there if you want to skip around to whatever show you actually watch. But we are going to kick this off with The Good Doctor because this is kind of in order of when the finales happened because, you know, there's that. So I honestly, and to be completely transparent, I don't have a lot to say about these shows for this one. So I feel like this is going to be relatively quick, but we're just going to, you know, hash it out. So starting with The Good Doctor. Overall, this is the second season of The Good Doctor. I mean, I think if I was compared to season 1 and season 2, I think it's still an interesting show. I like being able to see more of what's going on in Murphy's life. I know this, when we talked about the mid-season finale, they had left us on this cliffhanger and all these people were going to die possibly from a bacterial virus or, well, I don't even think it was a virus. It was, well, it had to be a virus because they were able to cure it. Whatever. People were going to die. And then we came back. Of course, all the people who were going to die didn't die. But we do have Sean. He's dealing with a lot because we have this new doctor, Dr. Han, who I am not a fan of. I was glad by the end of this that he decided to leave because he was just too much. And I feel like it felt like he was projecting his experiences on Sean. And they never really said if that was the case. I know he said he had a relative. I can't remember if he said it was his brother or it was someone who was close to him who had autism. So it kind of you kind of get that feeling like there's some projection there. But he was just like, came in straight for it, like, you're fired. And I was glad to see that the rest of the team were trying to stand behind Sean and back him up. And so, yeah, I think overall, so he replaced, because you guys know, for the first season, I had talked about how much Morgan, Dr. Resnick, got on my nerves. And this season she did a 180, and I feel like they try to be a little more personable with her, which I appreciated, because it was just so hard to like her last season. And this season it was a little bit easier to tolerate her, but Dr. Han 100% took her spot in the most hated on the show list. So yeah, there's that. And so we have that. What else happened? So we have Lim and Melendez. They kind of had a thing. I told you guys when I talked about the mid-season finale, like, that was something I didn't really see happening. Like, for me, I felt like Claire and Melendez had, and Claire in general, I've said that she has strong chemistry with a lot of people just in general, but I felt really strong chemistry between her and Melendez. So I was like, oh, they might go this route. They still could go that route, but for now they are going the Lim route. And I don't know, I like them together, but we know since Dr. Han has left, Lim will be taking his role, and so therefore it makes things a little tricky as far as their relationship. So they have to kind of like step back and take a break from that. But all that to be said, because Sean is dealing with all his craziness. So because Sean is our focal point and we kind of pull him out of the mixture of all of our resident, I don't even know how to, what are they, our residents or residential doctors? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know like the complete correct term, but we pull them out of that scenario. So we kind of, it forces them to give us a little more of everyone else because we don't have Sean driving that connection for us as a viewer to these other characters. So with that being said, we got to see Dr. Alex Park, who we got to see a little bit more about his family. So we know he's been there. He's always kind of been kind of mysterious. He came late in the game last season and was just like, okay, he seems to be cool and very supportive of Sean, but we never really knew too much about him. So we find out that him and his wife are divorced. We meet his son in the mid-season finale. And so we have that whole thing. And so it kind of leads to him and his ex-wife trying to kind of reconcile, but she lives in Arizona with their son. So we kind of like get a little bit into that, even though I kind of felt like earlier on they could have went like the Park and Lim route, because you know I felt like there could have maybe been something there too as well. I mean, it's just a hodgepodge of chemistry happening in this hospital, and at some point everyone's gonna sleep with everyone, probably minus Sean, and there is that. So that is Park. Then we get Claire. We don't get as much Claire, I feel like, the second half of the season as we've gotten like all last season, even earlier this season. We do get to see her hang out with Morgan, which was, I think, an interesting episode, and seeing how their relationship has progressed since the first season, because if you guys remember, they're like completely polar opposites. And so seeing how much they've kind of come to like a middle ground has been interesting to watch. And then we also got to see the episode where they go to Claire's mom and how they deal with that. And I feel like that helped strengthen their relationship. And so they kind of have a little bit of a friendship, even though I don't think they want to admit it, but you know, I'm all for it. And then we have Glassman, who is cancer-free, and he's just trying to figure out his role in life. And so they do something interesting. We get to see Glassman with Leah a lot. And I told you guys that at the end of the first season, I was like, I don't want to see a lot of Leah. I think Leah is irritating. I think I felt, this is me personally, you might not feel this way, I felt like she was taking advantage of Sean in some ways and trying to make him do things her way, even though he is his own person and he's like, yeah, he has autism, and yeah, he does things differently, and that doesn't mean you have to baby him, but there's a way to try to deal with things, and it's not just coming in and being like, you need to 100% change what your personality is and do things the way that I think that you should do things. And that's just always has rubbed me the wrong way about her character. So they do something interesting. They pair with Glassman. Glassman has a pretty hard exterior, if you will. So I think putting her with him kind of helped break down a little bit of what she was doing, because there, especially earlier in the season, there were moments where he got like 100% real with her and were voicing some of the things that I thought about her. So I appreciated that. But by the end of this, I mean, Sean is Sean. And I think what happened with, so because Sean was, I don't even know what it's called. Like, he could no longer work with actual patients. So he was more so on the team who does like all the research or whatever. So the woman, which, forgive me, I did not write down her name, but the doctor there who he kind of works with and connects with, low-key, he had feelings for her, didn't see that one coming, and I don't think Leah saw it coming either, because at the end, he freaking is, like, asking for all this advice from, and then he, like, gets flowers, and he dressed up, he asked for advice from Claire, and he gets all dressed up, and he's like doing all this stuff, and then Leah thinks like he's doing this for her, because we, you know, Leah, they're living together, so she's bringing home like guys and stuff, and still like living life like she's not living with Sean, knowing that he has feelings for her the way that he does. And so she's thinking it's for him, and he's like, how do I look? And he's like, okay, bye. the burn, that was golden. I love that whole thing. So, yeah, that was probably my favorite moment of the entire series. But, yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I have to. And then also when he shows up to her house and, like, in his Sean way, he's, like, doesn't know how to ask her for out on a date. And he asks her and she's like, yeah. And I think he was so surprised that she said, yeah. He didn't even give her the flowers. And he, like, it was like, okay, it turned around, started walking off, and then he was like celebrating. That was such a cute moment. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'm excited to see where we go in a season 3. Get to see Sean date, possibly. I think that would be something good and new to explore for him, and also kind of take us a little bit out of the hospital. Because I feel like we got out of the hospital a lot this season, but I think there's even more that we can do. So I'm excited to see where we go. And yeah, so that's The Good Doctor. Deadly Class. So you guys, I have to say, I was surprised that I stuck it through Deadly Class, because I told you guys, I was seeing all this advertisement for Deadly Class, and I was like, okay, this was not on my radar, and then all of a sudden, it was just advertisements everywhere. And so because of that, you know, kudos to the marketing team, I was like, okay, I'll give the first episode a try. And I've told you guys how I determine what I'm going to watch. I don't remember what episode I did it in, but essentially I give it one episode. If I like the first episode or I'm kind of like on the fence, then I'll give it two more episodes. By the second episode, if you don't have me 100%, like 100, nothing less, then that's when I bounce out. So, so I gave this one episode and then I was like, okay, I don't know what you guys are doing, but okay. So then I was like, let's go to the second episode. And then it just was like, I mean, what more can you ask for? Where it's set in the 80s. They're like pretty much at an assassination school where they're learning how to be assassins, essentially. They're like young kids. So of course you have everything that comes with being a teenager. You have like the hormones and the drama and all that stuff happening. So it just was a good hodgepodge of things to make for a good show. And I think because it's on sci-fi now, I'm gonna be real with you guys, I have not watched anything on sci-fi, I don't think ever. I think occasionally maybe a movie if I'm going through the guide and I see a movie is on that I want to watch. But I can count on one hand and still have fingers left how many times I've watched something on sci-fi. I did not know sci-fi got that gritty and that graphic on their shows, because this show was graphic and I loved every single minute of it. It was so good. I really enjoyed all the acting. Of course, Lana Condor, who we all, or not all of us, but you know, I'm familiar with her from To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And she plays Saya, and I thought it was good to see her in this type of a role because it's different. And I believe she did something in X-Men, which when I talked about To All the Boys I Loved Before, I was like, oh, I think that's her first thing, but she had done something in X-Men. But to see her, but I think Saya is even more cooler than anything I've ever seen her do because she's just like super kick-ass. She's can fight like nobody else, and she just has this demeanor about her. So I really liked seeing her as this character. And then our main guy, Marcus, who's played by Benjamin Wadsworth, I thought he just embodied everything about a teenage boy that you can embody, and then also throw on top of that that he's an orphan. So then you kind of have that kind of pulling at your heartstrings. So you're rooting for him. And you're like, okay, I want you to make it. I want you to make it. But he keeps making stupid decisions and stupid choices. Like, he did that all really well. So I thought I enjoyed enough. I mean, there are a lot of people in the show. Like, the main cast is pretty deep. But I think, and there are only 10 episodes. So if you're still listening to this and you haven't seen Deadly Class, I highly recommend going to watch it. But I think overall, I really enjoyed it. I think the villain, if you will, of this season, Chester Fuckface Wilson, they did a good job of making him just seem disgusting and gross to the point that there was this one scene, the toilet scene. I was like, why are we doing this? And then like his thing with the animals, and to the point where it's just like, I just want his scenes to be over. You felt like ickiness when you watched his scene. So kudos to that actor, Tom Stevens, because I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm ready for him to die. Please kill him so we do not have to see him for another season, because I literally cannot. So yeah. But also I have to say, because the headmaster who's running the game, Master Lin, played by Benedict Wong, I mean, his whole storyline and journey was also interesting, because we start off and he's like this super tough techno-nonsense instructor, and you kind of don't know anything really about him. I mean, he kind of seems like just one-dimensional iron fist type of a character. And then as it progresses, you kind of see like learn more about his family, and you learn like we're to assume his wife and his daughter are dead, but then we learn that they're actually really alive, and then has something. And then we meet his crazy sister who's like psycho, and I would not want to be a part of this family, but she's like trying to, once she finds out that the daughter is still alive, she's like, oh, she's gonna go through everything I went through. And she, I mean, talk about family drama. So by the end of it, like his daughter, she ends up taking his daughter to wherever it was that she got taken to when she was a child. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so much. And then it was so many like dynamics of family in this, because like I said, we have Marcus and his whole being an orphan thing. So like the kids at the school kind of end up being his family. And then you have the dynamic between Master Lin and his sister, and then also his family that he's hiding, which has also been a weird thing. And then you have Chico's father, because you know Chico ends up dying, which I didn't see that coming when it happened, but Chico ends up dying, and then his insane father shows up and is essentially like, the last two episodes was like a murder chase. Like, you felt like you were on a chase that whole thing when Chico's dad is like chasing Master Lin. And my thing is like, so why are you trying to kill Master Lin, and why are you trying to make him suffer by killing his daughter? Because he's not the one who killed your son. And I feel like you should be out there looking for the person who killed your son, which we all know is Maria. And Maria and Chico and Chico's dad all kind of have this like long relationship, and it's like all weird. So that's another kind of family dynamic. But my thing is like, you need to find whoever killed your son and take all this anger out on them. Because Master Lin lied and tried to cover for Maria, because I mean, she is his student, and like, what else is he gonna do? I don't know. I just had issues with him trying to essentially murder Master Lin's daughter as payback for Chico's death. Like, that did not make sense to me at all. And then the whole last scene when like Cause you know, I'm thinking of it like a movie, because you know, or like a comic book movie, because I mean, this is like a graphic novel. So I'm thinking of it in terms of like when we get to the end, like we have this big face off, and we had like a big face off. So we had that happening with Madeline and Chico's dad, and then we had the kids at the house with Chester, and I was just like, this, like, Chester's family is crazy. It was so much stuff happening in there, and I was just like, okay, we need to hurry up and kill Chester so we can get out of this house. And then finally, Chester gets attacked by his own dogs, so he ends up dying. But then Marcus and Maria end up walking right into Chico's dad. I'm just like, and that's where we end, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I wrote, because you guys know I take notes. I wrote, are you serious? The biggest cliffhanger. So, what did I say? Oh, because one of the kids got shot. So he's probably dead. And then Marcus and Maria are in a standoff with Diablo holding his son. Oh, with Diablo. And Marcus is holding the head, or Chico's head. So, like, what is going to happen? I don't know, but that is like the biggest cliffhanger to leave us on. And now we have to wait until next season to see how everything resolves. So you guys know it can go one of two ways. It can be we come back and it's immediately we start where we left off, or we come back and we kind of come back where time has moved forward a little bit. And then we see in flashbacks what happened in the finale. Because, I mean, Marcus is our main character, so I don't think Marcus is going to die. I'm okay with Maria dying. I'm going to be honest. Maria drove me crazy this season. She is legit psycho. There might be some Maria fans out there, but she was like, I was like, okay, Maria, girl, like, you're crazy, like, psycho girlfriend crazy, like, psycho girlfriend times 3,000 crazy. She's insane. So I was just like, if she dies, I'm completely okay with that. But yeah, so that's Deadly Class. I thought it was a really great first season. I super enjoyed it. I'm glad Chester is dead, and hopefully we don't get a even more disgusting villain for our next season. Like, whoever our villain is, can he be like either super smart or conniving? Like, can we leave like the gross, like, animal, I don't even know what it's called, like, when you have like that type of stuff, just leave it. I don't want to see it. Ugh. Like, I'm literally like, I can feel myself wanting to throw up right now, but I'm trying to hold it down, you guys. If I had to pick a negative, that was the biggest negative for me for this season. So next season, please give us a different type of villain. Russo brothers, that's all I'm asking. So yeah, that's Deadly Class. Let's move on to Black Lightning. I honestly don't have a lot to say about Black Lightning. You guys could go back in, I'm pretty sure I did a mid-season episode for Black Lightning, so you can go back and listen to that. But a lot was happening. Pretty much this season was about Jen pretty much coming to her own as being part of Black Lightning and Thunder and that whole dynamic. And so kind of seeing her grow into becoming Lightning and getting her suit and like suit up for her family. Of course, we don't see her suit up until the final episode, because I mean, duh. But that was kind of what the whole journey was. I think the main journey was. So Tobias, who just cannot die for some reason and is always doing all these types of things. So by the end of it, he ends up being put away in a pit that seems like it's just off in the middle of nowhere, deep, deep somewhere. So hopefully that's where he will stay for all of next season, because I am good on Tobias for a while. We got two seasons of Tobias. I was hoping he was going to die this season, but he did not. So hopefully we don't see him next season. And if they want to bring him back, they can bring him back in like a future season. But I've had my fill of Tobias at this point. What else? So we see Lynn, and we meet this new guy who is essentially her, I don't even know what he is, because it's not like he's a boss, or I guess he would be sort of kind of her boss. Or he's like, I don't know what he is. Cause he kind of like, cause the way that she talks to him is like, okay, are you her boss or like what? But we know he has a lot of pull. So Agent Percy, he is like been looking and watching over the family, and I was like, wait a minute, I forgot their last name, the Pierce family. And honestly, so when Gambi came and they were like, oh, do a sweep of the house, and he did a sweep of the house, he was like, there was nothing. Like, he seriously did not pick up any bugs. I would have did another sweep of the house. I would do a sweep of the house every day just to make sure no one's bugging the house. Because, like, now he knows all of their secrets, and he essentially, at the end of this, is holding them to it, like, I know who you guys really are, and the Markovians are coming. Is it the Markovians or the... Yeah, the Markovians are coming. So, like, we need to get ready for battle, because it all has something to do with these kids who have been in these pods around there. I mean, this story is kind of a little bit convoluted, a little bit, if you kind of actually try to think about it. But, yeah, so the Markovians coming because they are mad. And essentially, I feel like a lot of the reason why they're mad is due to Tobias and his actions. So, like, if they want to be mad at anyone, they should be mad at, like, Tobias and just take it out on him. But of course, they're gonna come and they're gonna, like, ruin the city. So they're gonna have to fight next season to try to, whatever the Markovians look like, whatever that looks like, the fight looks like, but they're gonna have to fight to protect the city. So that essentially gives us an idea of what next season is gonna look like, because this is the third season. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where we go moving forward. But we also find out, because Agent Percy has been doing a lot, and we all thought Khalil died, and then we see Khalil is in this pod. So I'm like, okay, is this like the Khalil, or is this like, it looks like Khalil, but his brain is like something else? So now we're going to have to see Jen deal with this next season. I'm just like, okay, I don't want to see the Jen and Khalil drama. That was pretty much the whole first half of the season was Khalil and Jen. So, like, I'm okay with that. We can put that on rest for break for a little bit. And yeah, we can figure that out. But what I do want to see next season is I want to see more of, like, them as a family out and fighting, because, like, that whole, like, last part when Thunder and Black Lightning were fighting together, just, like, seeing them play off and work off each other, I was just like, I want to see more of this. Like, can I get a little bit more of this? Because I feel like everyone has their own side agendas, and yeah, the thing about Black Lightning, and this is the thing, what I think all of the CW DC TV shows is, like, that whole theme of family, and they really play off of that really well. And so I want to see more of not just the family in the home as, like, their plain clothes self, but as our heroes in the field together. Like, I want to see more of that, especially now that we have Jen. So that is Black Lightning. I told you guys we were going to get through this pretty quickly because I don't have a lot to say. So finally, let's get into This Is Us. This Is Us. This is our third season. It has been what feels like a long season. Now, I told you guys that they said that we were going to see some Beth and Randall drama this season, and boy, did they give it to us. And I was just like, you know what? You guys are playing my emotions. Like, y'all can mess with everybody else, but don't mess with Beth and Randall, because do not. And I told you guys, remember when I talked about the mid-season finale and we were seeing in the flash forward. So we knew that they were all gathering to go and see someone who I was assuming was the mom. Oh my gosh. Why am I blanking on names right now? Why do I want to call her MJ? And that is for sure not her name. Rebecca. Oh my gosh. Like, why am I thinking of Spider-Man? I don't know. But anyway, so I was like, I was telling you guys that I feel like they're going to see Rebecca. Because, I mean, at this point, Tess is super old. And if everyone's going to gather for anything, I feel like it will be for Rebecca. And then I mentioned, because we saw Beth in the future at her dance studio, but they weren't showing us her ring finger. And I was like, I couldn't remember if we could see a ring, but, like, maybe they're trying to hint at that they might not be together. And then that's what we got more through this season. And because we didn't get a lot of flash forwards once we came back from the mid-season finale. And so I kind of forgot about it. But then I was just like, towards the end of that, I was like, okay, y'all need to figure this out, because it looks like y'all trying to make them have a divorce, and I am not for this. So when we finally get to flash forward and we see Beth on her own, I'm just like, you guys, show me her left hand. I want to see her left hand now. And they were really playing up the not showing her left hand. And then finally we see they don't even show her left hand until after Randall and Tess, they show up at the house. They come in. She's like making coffee or tea or something. And then he's like, hey, baby, or babe, or whatever he called her. And then they kiss. And then finally they show us her left hand. I'm just like, do not play with my emotions because like I'm going to fight y'all. And I think that reason is because Beth and Randall, like, I just really love their relationship and their dynamic. But I think it was also good to kind of see them go through something and struggle through something and see them and know that they work through that to where they end up in the future because they end up still together. So that is that. We also find out from the flash forward that Kevin has his kids and his kids don't look mixed. So therefore, he's not sure who he's with, if he's with Sophie again, but we pretty much know that him and Beth's cousin, which her name is escaping me right now, but we pretty much know that they are donezo because that's kind of how they end because they come, they have their differences about having kids. And so we kind of, I mean, and I think it's good that they had that conversation because you don't want to end up, Zoe's her name because it just came to me, but you don't want to end up in a place where like, you now you're married and you're like, I don't want kids, but the other one wants kids. And that's just going to lead to divorce. So at least they had that conversation and can go their separate ways and won't hold grudges against towards each other. But also Kevin's kids are pretty young. I mean, compared to, well, they're going to be young compared to like Tess and Annie and Deja, which we didn't see Deja in the flash forward or Annie in the flash forward, only Tess in the flash forward. And I told you guys the casting for Tess, the older Tess, spot on, looks exactly like what the younger Tess would look like as an older woman. But yeah, so we didn't see her in the future. And then we hear that Kate and, oh my gosh, Kate and Toby's son, who is Jack Jr., we know he is older because it sounds like Toby says that we don't see Kate in the flash forward, but we see Toby, which is weird. So then it's like, okay, did Kate pass away? Or wait, did he say he was talking to Kate on the phone? No, I feel like he said he was talking to Jack on the phone, but we don't see Kate. And also I was like trying to look at his hand. I feel like I saw his hand and looked like it was empty. So I'm like, okay, but then if that was the case, then why would Toby still be around? So I don't know. I'm confused. I have more questions that I need answered about what's going on with Toby and Kate in the future. But yeah, so it sounds like Jack has his own little family. So I'm just like, okay, so Kevin, when did you have these kids? Cause these kids look so young. Like they're running around, like running around young. So I don't know. But I mean, so pretty much we see Kevin dealing with alcoholism again because we see that. So kind of we saw him go down the road trying to figure out like what was going on with his father while he, or with Jack, while he was in the away overseas during the World War. Oh my gosh, the Vietnam War. Why am I saying the World War? I don't even know what I was trying to say, but whatever. So we see him dealing with that. And then we all see how that all ends up because we're all to believe that Nikki is deceased, but of course we find out he's not. And so him meeting Nikki kind of leads him back into drinking. And so we see him struggling with his alcoholism again, which Zoe was prepared to stay with him through that. But then the whole kid thing was like the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. So that was Kevin's struggle this season. So that's kind of where he left off. And then we had Kate and Toby. So Kate and Toby have been trying to get pregnant. We saw Toby struggle earlier in the season because he got off his depression medication or antidepressant. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Why am I trying to make up words when words already exist? Oh my gosh. We saw him get off his antidepressants and that ended up really messing with his emotions because the antidepressants can have a negative effect in Kate being able to get pregnant because we know that they went through like in vitro and had to get some help in order for her to get pregnant. And then like the pregnancy in general was just like something that they need to watch. So this all leads up to Kate having or giving birth prematurely. And so Jack ends up, and the baby gets named Jack after her father, of course. And he ends up like super tiny. And so, but we know, thanks to the flash forward, that he makes it and grows into a strong, healthy boy. We even get to see Kate and Toby take him home. We also find out that Rebecca and, oh my gosh, it was just in my head. And then literally Miguel, oh my gosh, you guys, I apologize. But yeah, so we see that Rebecca and Miguel, or we learn that they're moving to California to be closer to Kate and Toby to help the baby, because she's never really moved. She's been there to help support Randall and Beth with the kids. And now it's Kate's turn. So we see that happen. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. We also see in a flash forward that Nikki is at Rebecca's bedside, because we find out that Rebecca is the one. And they, kudos to the makeup team, because the makeup game is on point. Like, they got Mandy Moore looking old, like a real old lady, like super old lady. So kudos to them. But we see Nick by the bedside of Rebecca. So we kind of saw a little bit of struggle there between them, and if they were actually going to like try to be a family and like be in each other's lives. But we see in the future, at some point, they all make it work. So like I said, seeing flash forwards just creates more questions, and now I just want those answers. So yeah, it's a lot happening, and I want to see what happens and how we get to where we are, and where are some of our missing people. Like, where is Kevin? Kevin, we saw your kids, but we haven't seen you or who your wife is. Where is Kate? I want to see the grown-up Jack, which they probably haven't cast it for him yet. But I want to see grown-up Jack in the future. Like, and then also the one other thing I want to know, because like this is just a thing that really works for them or works for the show, is being able to see like the Pearsons just as a whole throughout their evolution of life. So from the past to the present, now to the future. And I feel like this second half of the season, yeah, we got some flashbacks, but I feel like Jack was pretty light compared to our other two seasons. And I think especially after we find out what how Jack dies, he's been like pretty light. So we do get some Jack a little bit. And I feel like earlier in the season, the first half of the season, like we got a lot of like learning about Rebecca and Jack and how they met and that. So I appreciate all of that. But I think the second half of the season, it was very Jack light. So I don't know. We'll see how they work that all out in the next season, because I have all types of confidence that they will. Honestly, I didn't even look to see if any of these shows have been renewed. Well, Black Lightning has already been renewed, because they got renewed when the CW renewed a bunch of CW shows, because that's what CW does. The Good Doctor, I'm assuming, has been renewed, because at the end of that, they said that he would be back next season. So you wouldn't say that unless he wasn't coming back. This Is Us, I just don't see them canceling This Is Us anytime soon. So I'm assuming that they've been renewed or will be renewed if they haven't been renewed. Deadly Class, honestly, I don't know if they made any announcements, because I really don't, like I said, I don't watch a lot of sci-fi anything. So I don't know where we are with that, but I don't see why they would cancel it, because I don't know. I think the show like really worked and really worked for their network, and it seemed like it had a pretty decent social media following, because I mean all of them are young, and then you have Lana Condor on there who has like her following from To All the Boys I Loved Before. So like, I don't know. We'll see. That's all I have to say, guys. That is my kind of hodgepodge of a recap, if you will, about these shows. But yeah, I want to know what you guys thought about these shows. Let me know. You can get and let me know by commenting on the Instagram post related to this episode. Also, get excited, guys, because The Bold Type is back this week. When I say this week, for those who are listening in the future, April 9th, The Bold Type is back. I'm super excited about that. Also, Cloak and Dagger came back last week. It was a 2-hour premiere. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see what they do this season. Like, I'm super excited because they have been working on their powers, and I don't want to talk about it all here because you guys know I'm going to do a season recap or a season two recap, but I'm so excited about that. So yeah, I mean, I feel like, because I've been kind of like, okay, come on TV, like you guys are kind of, some of you are losing me. Even some of the CW shows, I'm not going to name names, are losing me right now. They're still in season and I'm just like struggling to keep watching. And just across the board. And so I'm excited about The Bold Type. I'm excited about Cloak and Dagger. And this goes back to what I always say. I'm sorry, guys. I know I'm supposed to be wrapping it up, but I just have to say this. This goes back to what I say when I talk about these seasons that are just too long. And it's too long to the point where I'm just like, okay, like, oh, we need to finish this. Like, you're losing me type of a thing. So that's kind of where how I'm feeling with a lot of these shows that I'm watching currently that are currently in season and shows that I super duper love and enjoy, but I'm just like, okay guys, we need to do something to fix this. So I don't know, I'm just excited about The Bold Type because I just love that show and the woman empowerment, and they work in like media, and that's kind of what I wanted to do when I was younger, want to grow up and sort of kind of do a little bit. But yeah, and then Cloak and Dagger, I just love the Cloak and Dagger show, and I told you guys I love the actors on that. And so yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up. That is all I have to say. Again, let me know what you guys thought about these shows. You can let me know by tweeting me at Current Binge or on Instagram at Currently Binging, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.